This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
They talk about GOT like nobody else. Whenever they're talking rules, we are overwhelmed. The fact that King's Rob and Josh are back seven hells. Game of Thrones, like Stannis, they're too nice. Like it has been 20,000 years since Game of Thrones ended. It has only been 3 years from the start.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. Josh and Rob are back in Westeros for week 4 of House of the Dragon, the King of the Narrow Sea. Of course, I am Josh Wigler, and I am joined here by the King of the Narrow Rob Sea, Rob Sestanino.
Yes, we're here to spill the tea. Uh-huh. Or will we drink it? Who knows?
No, don't. Who knows? Don't. Are you a tea guy? I feel like you are.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a caffeine in every single form I can get it guy. Uh-huh. And so
rolling throughout the day, or is it like I'm a morning caffeine, or are you going to just keep it going all day long? The party never stops.
Some of these late night Big Brother nights, got to like maybe do like a later coffee. But I probably will start with a little coffee, then switch to some. I do green tea. Am I one of the greens? I don't know.
Doing some research.
And then back to coffee.
Wow. Well, I just got sideswiped in a beautiful way. Really mm-hmm. enjoyed that. How many coffees are we on at this point in the day? It's
just
an early morning for us right now.
Just one. Yeah.
One cup yeah. right now. Okay. I'm on number two.
A light one. I don't go too heavy in the morning.
We'll see where it goes. Well, it's a good thing because it's a heavy episode of House of the Dragon that we have to try and make light of here this week. I am to understand, Rob, that you really enjoyed this one. You had a really good time. I feel like maybe this is the one that kind of hooked you back into the Seven Kingdoms.
Yeah, I really did enjoy. I gotta be honest, I did fall asleep the first time I watched it, but then I watched it again.
Not enough coffee.
Then I watched it again. Yeah. Like it was a long. We had a lot, very busy weekend. Okay, yes. I did fall asleep watching it on Sunday night.
Happy name day, Nicole. Retroactively.
Yeah, and I really like. Boy, I really missed a lot. Yeah. And so I really did like. I said to Nicole, who's very into it. She's been enjoying many of the post-show recaps, not just this one.
Does Nicole want to come and talk House of the Dragon with us?
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to ask her. But
Nicole, open invite.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe like we'll see if like maybe 1 week if she wants to come on here.
Strong take. We would love that. That'd be great.
Yes. And so I said to her, like, I think this was the best episode. And she said, I wanted to say the same thing, but I didn't think that you were going to agree.
Oh, wow.
So
that's
we both
great.
In the House of the Sesternino, we both were in agreement.
Yeah, I think that there's a bunch of people who have felt that way. I think there's rightfully a lot of people like, geez, and a lot of like, do I need to see that?
Right.
I totally get that.
I think
from like the character perspective, if you were waiting for one that like kind of showed you more about who these people are, that for me, like if I could guess, felt like that was probably a big piece of it for you.
Yeah, you know what I really liked about this episode is that I felt like that this episode was the smallest episode of the series so far. And yeah, I think that like the dragon stuff is great, but I feel like that it needs to get earned. And I feel like that we need to get there. Otherwise, like, you know, I'll just watch a Transformers movie. But it's like, okay, sure, like action, and but like I don't know who anybody is. Like, why do I care about any of this? Yeah. Like, I don't know who the crab feeder is. I don't know who all these armies are. I don't know who all these people. But if you're just gonna like really like zoom in on the character stuff, like I feel like, okay, let me get invested in what's going on and who these people are. And then when they go to war, now I'll have some stakes into like what I'm actually watching.
Right. So we're going to talk through all of that. There's a lot of individual character stuff that now I feel like you're really clicking with these people. I cannot wait to get your take on. Really excited about that. Of course, we've got feedback from folks as well. People send in feedback, GOT@postshowrecaps.com. We also got it at dragon@postshowrecaps.com. No roasts yet, other than the coffee that we are talking about here on the podcast. Of course, in the patron Discord as well, lots of conversation there, mostly about corn. There was a lot of conversation about corn this week, Rob.
Yeah. Interesting. It's very hot these days. Yeah.
I think corn is very hot these days. Corn has somehow made its way into the Discord and the discourse around House of the Dragon. Lots of people wondering if it would be better if it was Corn of the Dragon, Rob. Would that be as interesting to you as the House of the Dragon?
Corn, but I mean, not
That's
really.
Just what's happening in our corner of the internet right now. There's been a lot of stuff. There's been a lot of reconceiving what would Game of Thrones have looked like if Corn was a bigger part of the storyline. I believe it was Riley who imagined Harvest Me Ned instead of Promise Me Ned. Just a kernel of an idea for you to chew over.
Candy corn? Is it like PSL? Now,
Chappelle was
on
last
week. PSR? Yeah.
Chappelle was on last week. So we don't have any candy corn really to speak of this time around.
Okay.
But we got a lot more to discuss and a lot of feedback that we got on Twitter as well, at Round Howard, at Rob Sesternino, at Post Show Recaps. And one of the things that I feel like we should just get into really early before we start getting into like more seriously minded character stuff is Mike Bloom.
Yep.
Mike Bloom of House Blackwood. This has been circulating. We were asked to engage this. Is this this Lord of Blackwood, this small child who ends up stabbing and killing this man in front of Rhaenyra Targaryen. Yep. There have been takes that this is a young mix maester Mike Bloom. Do you see it, Rob?
Totally see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how do you not see it?
I think that it's good. I think like it speaks really well of Mike energetically as well. Not a man who's going to take a slight sitting down, and be careful when you dare him. When you dare Mike Bloom, you're going to get bit by the snake. The tattoo will come to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think the only thing that was missing was sort of like, you know, a quippy pun after the stabbing.
Yeah. Yeah, he needed like a finishing move line. And then I think that would have really been Mike. It made me think once I kind of connected the dots that I have a lot of different people that I could choose to be my champion from the post-show recaps and RHAP extended universe. Brooklyn Zed thought it was a choice that they as a trained fighter was not selected. And I definitely appreciate that. But I think Psycho Child Mike Bloom, if we could time travel back to Westeros where he was, seems like a pretty dangerous foe to pit anybody against.
Right. Like, don't mess with him. And then also you're going to get stabbed. And then also then you're going to get then burned by Bloom. He's kind of like Deadpool.
Yeah, sort of is. I think Mike Bloom might be the Deadpool of podcasting, which is
Dead Bloom.
Yeah, no. Dead Bloom is, I think, pretty good. Of course, Mike is on those recaps on Sunday nights. He and Grace were together. There's a rumor of a little bit of a pod swap that might be happening. You may be hearing Mike Bloom on a different Game of Thrones podcast next week and myself as a result of that. So stay tuned to that. Did you know, Rob, that Mike Bloom and I are on the precipice of yet another permutation of Down the Hatch?
Mike had mentioned something, yes. And my head exploded. I said, wait, what?
Like the Red Viper.
Yes. Did you announce that? What that was?
The announcement is incoming. The Sunday podcast coming up, the Down the Hatch podcast that's going to drop. We will tell you a bit more. In fact, we'll tell you everything about what we plan on doing next on Down the Hatch. Our lost friends will be joining us for the ride, but they shall not be the main characters. We've got a really fun idea, I think, that we're going to be excited about delivering. So if you like Mike and I together, I think you'll enjoy it. Check out the Down the Hatch feed here on PSR. Rob, where do you want to start? Your show, this is my third conversation about this episode.
Yeah.
You know, so I've said a lot of what I have to say. I would really love to know where you're at with everything.
So I just thought that this was such an interesting episode because I think you get left with so many questions of like who knew what, when, like what all the choices that the characters made in this episode, that I think that there is a lot of room for interpretation. Now, again, maybe if you know, read the books, maybe you sort of like know whatever, but like, what was like almost every choice that was made in this episode, you know, how much of it was made with like knowing that there was like some subterfuge going on?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that that's been really fun to parse out. I really enjoyed talking it through on the book club podcast this last week. Mm-hmm. I thought that both Taryn and Rich had really, really good perspectives on it. And the majority of that podcast, it's like an hour and a half podcast this week. And I would say like 50 to 55 minutes is without book spoilers. It's book appreciation and what we know of the characters and trying to track all of that onto what we know of the characters thus far on the show. I think that there were a lot of really interesting takes, and there have been a lot of interesting takes online this week, I think, as far as who knew what, when, what are certain people planning? What is it that they actually really want? And I think that that is sort of like the sweet spot on Game of Thrones is like, when are, you know, I think that that's something that maybe has been missing from House of the Dragon thus far, is that for the most part, things seem to be pretty cards up. Right. Like you kind of like, even if you don't know who the characters are deeply yet, it doesn't feel like there's like this big, like who killed John Arryn kind of mystery and like who really sent the assassin to kill Bran or what sort of secret alliance is occurring behind closed doors that's going to blindside us for the Red Wedding. That stuff doesn't seem to be like super, super front of screen for us at this point in time on the show. But I think that this episode kind of dabbles in that space at the very least of like some of these characters have ideas for each other that we are left to kind of like puzzle out ourselves and like how they're actually feeling about some of this stuff. So there's like big character mystery, I think, this week.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, starting with Damon of like what was like his ultimate plan and, you know, like when he comes and, you know, takes Rhaenyra for her wild night out, like what's like what is his intention? You know, why did he come back in the first place?
Right.
You know, I think we're sort of left at the end of the episode of like that. He would like sort of set her up to
right.
end up taking a fall to be seen in a place where she shouldn't have been seen, ultimately to really sort of sully her good name.
So let's bring in some feedback already. Let's shake things up. Feedback can come in early because most of the feedback, I think, was about this. I think that there was a lot of confusion about what was going on with Daemon and Rhaenyra in this episode. Some of it not confusing, some of it just icky and gross, but a lot of questions about like motivation, I think. From Bobby, Bobby wrote in and said, in the scene with Daemon and Rhaenyra in the brothel, how did you read that? In the after show director scene, they said that Daemon was frustrated because he was impotent. Mike and Grace said that Daemon didn't follow through because he knew what he was doing was wrong on some level.
Okay.
Bobby says, I thought that it was all a plan to have people see them in the brothel so that it would get back to the king. He didn't need to actually defile his niece, just do enough to give that impression so he could then propose marriage. That was Bobby's take on the matter. Mm-hmm. Justin had a different read. Justin thinks that Daemon wanted Rhaenyra to get pregnant, but then when he can't do it, he gets mad because he can't do it and he can't work his way to the king. So he's defeated. He just straight up asks for what he wants. And I think Amanda had questions about this as well. She wanted to know why Daemon takes Rhaenyra's beanie off before going into the pleasure house. Does he want them to be seen? So where do you land with this, Rob? Do you have a view of why Daemon did what he did?
So I think the thing, the Occam's razor that makes the most sense is that he wanted them to be spotted. He knows that the flea bottom pleasure house is the place to be seen. They've got everything. Mm-hmm. They've got peepholes. They've got, but in all seriousness,
all kinds of holes.
Yeah. Can I leave a one-star review for the flea bottom pleasure house? Like,
yeah. What's your major gripe?
Okay. First off, like
sticky floors. That's tough.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it goes without saying.
The smell, but, not great.
Yeah. Not even that. I don't know. Like, it's like the Walking Dead in there. Why is everybody moving at like 1/4 speed? It's like everybody's just like sort of like moving like so.
Oh my gosh,
slow. People are like walking across the room at like,
I feel like this conversation,
1/10 of a mile an hour.
Just got very intimate.
I don't know. Like, thank God. Like when Littlefinger. Like gets in there. I think he's like, hey, can we pick up the pace here a little bit?
Yeah. It's like a chorus line, like chop, chop, chop. Let's go.
Yeah, let's
show.
Let's move here, everybody. Like, is everything like moving like a zombie in there?
Littlefinger as a Broadway mom, as a Mama Rose, is an incredible way of looking at that character. Just ridiculous. I guess I didn't notice that it was very slow, but I have said, and I said this on with Taryn and Rich, and I think I also maybe talked about this a bit on the Vanity Fair podcast that I do still watching. Last week was with Katie Rich, not Filiberto, and it felt like a really long episode of the show. I don't know if you felt that way. I don't know if you felt like this one
ran. I did fall asleep once. Yeah,
you did fall asleep the one time. Like it felt like it ran longer, and it really did. Mm-hmm. And you know,
on my second view, I didn't really get that.
It felt like a lot. Like the note taking process for me, I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, I need a break. There was definitely that in the middle of it. And again, like just so much kudos to Mike and Grace who hop right on after mm-hmm. these episodes. It's just incredible stuff. But for me, I was thinking that it was largely like the Kristen Cole scene goes on a very long time, and that has been my main culprit for the Kristen culprit. You know, that has been the main source of attention for me. But maybe the pleasure house scene, you might be on to something.
They are moving in slow motion. Now, again, maybe a lot of those people are being paid hourly. So maybe it behooves them to like move as slow as possible. But if you want to get as many customers in and out of there as possible, also, I don't know. Like I have questions.
Yeah.
But I will have to say my
well
biggest...
then I feel like if you were what position are you coming into this giving a star as? I know you just what position? I'm not trying to ask that. But are you a customer? Are you an inspector?
I'm coming from like I'm a New Yorker like at heart. And now I'm here like in the service is slower. Uh-huh. Okay. I'm used to like, you know, hey, like, can we get some service over here? Like, has anybody seen the waiter?
Yeah,
you know,
this
is
much
like
more
it.
European, Rob. In Europe, yes, you know, like you have to like you have to wait
the pace
a long
pace
time
for the slow
come your way.
Yeah.
Well, actively flag them down.
All right, and then can I also then leave my 1-star review also for the flea bottom players?
Yes. Oh no, this is really going to impact their future employability. Oh no,
I hate the minstrel shows.
Yeah,
stop doing this.
You don't like them.
I hate the not ready for prime time players of Westeros.
Yeah.
Like, okay, support local theater, sure. Yeah. Okay, I get it, but I hated this when Arya went to go see. Actually, that was like in Braavos, right?
Yeah.
That she went to go see the like, and that's off Broadway, Braavos. Yeah. But this is now all right.
This is the main stage.
And it sucked just as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you think that this was better or worse than the should this be off Braavos though? The wordplay is
Braavos,
better.
Yeah. Off Braavos.
Yeah.
It might have been.
I do think that the production value in Braavos
maybe
was a
Braavos
much
is
bigger
like,
deal.
You know, yeah, that they've got like the huge statue and everything. So yeah. Maybe that's where like they really do it. And this is like, you know, you got to make it here to get to Braavos.
Yeah, the free cities are, you know, they're swimming in it sometimes, it feels like. They've got big resources over there. I feel like their interest in the arts, support the arts, go to patreon.com/BraavosRecaps.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like they are really making bank over there. They're making
Iron Bank. Yeah, sure. So, but I was like, oh my God, again, what are we doing?
I appreciated that we got like a face full of like a rope bundle as opposed to the wardy imagery of the last time we were in a production.
That's
so
true. Yeah.
You know, beggars can't be choosers, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, it was informational too, right? Like Rhaenyra is there and she swept up in it for a second until she realized like, oh, these people aren't booing the show.
Yeah,
they're booing me.
Yeah. So do you think it would have been like a much better sketch if then she would have come out and then reacted to the person doing her like a classic like SNL bit where the person doing the impression is then the real person comes out and it's like, hey.
Yeah. Who do you think would be, we're already talking about a future inevitable looming Millie Alcock exit.
Yes.
As time jumps are happening, and if you're paying attention to this stuff, and if you're listening to podcasts, we assume you know, Millie Alcock, famous for now, hopefully forever, but a new Rhaenyra incoming. We don't know when, soon. Who would be the Saturday Night Live player that would be best for Rhaenyra? Because I feel like there's a lot of different ways you could go.
Well, like in the Flea Bottom players?
I think, which Saturday Night Live cast member would be great as a Flea Bottom player of Rhaenyra Targaryen?
I think that Amy Poehler could have a lot of fun with it.
Amy Poehler would be pretty good. I feel like Amy Poehler could do a really good Prince Joffrey as well, actually.
Yes. Okay, then maybe
I'm also thinking Kate McKinnon would be good in both of those roles, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see it. Kristen Wiig, sure.
Yeah. What, like a little... Millie? What? Millie,
Did you invite Sir Criston Cole into your room?
No.
Yeah.
So would you have enjoyed that night out, do you think, Rob? That doesn't seem like this was your scene at all.
What is it, dinner and a show? you know?
I don't know that dinner was involved.
I don't know. Might have been. And so, I don't know. Seems
that
like
could
a fun,
have been
a
what
fun
this was
out.
Missing, to be honest, is like some sort of like Lady and the Tramp, this is the night moment, where just like Damon Rhaenyra sharing a spaghetti. That could have smoothed some things over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. night out on the town, sneaking out. So it seemed like that for Rhaenyra, this was like one of the, like best nights ever.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know, where's Rhaenyra standing for you as far as like who you're invested in on the show? I think for a lot of people, it's Rhaenyra. I don't think that that's the case for everybody.
I don't know who else it would be. Who else? Is there another figure that is like a sympathetic figure on the show that we could root for?
It was a really brutal episode for Alicent, for sure. I feel like this was like the first time we're really getting some insight into Alicent. And I know that like we've talked about like, where is she standing with all of this? And is she going to be like, you know, master manipulator, or is she just going to kind of be like passively involved politically? I think, at the risk of saying a little too much, knowing that there's this recasting coming, I think you could maybe look at this portion of the story for Alicent at least a little bit as like sprawling prologue for the character that I think that you have expressed specifically, Rob, that you would like to see.
Remind me of that.
Yeah, I think like you've said, like you love your Marjorie Tyrells,
oh,
right?
Yes,
you
know, yes,
you want to see that type of a character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So gross. The whole scene with Viserys.
It's horrible.
And like honestly, like okay, if he was in peak condition, that scene would have been gross.
Yes.
But did we need to add nine festering backsores.
Nine festering
backsores. Like he's been in some like tragic cupping incident.
I feel. Oh no! Have you ever done the cupping?
No. Why have you
been in your cups?
You've been cupping.
I don't remember. I believe it was the Evolution of Strategy, Rob, where we talked about the massage line and where I would want to be on the massage line at the very back, so no one can touch me. Think I've been cupped?
Well, I don't think that people are touching you. It's like they're like vacuuming the life out of
That's
you.
That's touching. That's contact. Get off my back. So I'm not in my cups in any sense.
Yeah, who's this cup bearer?
Get out of there. I think you're right. Obviously it would have been horrific in any event, but I feel like they're like adding to the, like the horrific imagery,
right?
Of like, this is this king who is being he's succumbing to 1,000 cuts. His health is constantly in decline.
You know what? I bet she's like, maybe she made like a calculated risk of like hopefully his wiener is going to fall off soon.
Oh, no.
Nope. Alive and well.
Not yet. Yeah. No spoilers.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Like, I just like, I hope that like, he's got a lot of health issues. Like, hopefully eventually he's going to be unable to. No, Daemon, lots of trouble.
Right.
Viserys, very virile.
This is the Succession show, right? This is Game of Thrones does Succession. The big question of who will sit on the Iron Throne after
Viserys.
He's not
sending any like photos to,
there's certainly this is big Logan Roy energy we're discussing here, I think, to a certain degree. But I think with that being baked into the premise, people tuning in to House of the Dragon each and every week, it feels like to me, are on some measure of Viserys death watch, right? Like when we get into like the matter of succession, when is this going to happen? And no spoilers as to whether or not this happens. You may be in for 4 seasons of King Viserys, and the final episode is it's going to show you who's the big contender. That would be a horrific disappointment for you, I am sure, if that was the energy of the show.
Yeah, enough, especially if he's going to like keep like decomposing on our screen week after week.
Speaking of The Walking Dead, are you surprised at how far he's made it? I feel like I've asked you this every week.
Yeah, a little surprised. I mean, it's only been 4 episodes.
Sure, like, but it's been like 500 years.
If he's still around
episodes
at the end of episode 6, I'll be surprised.
Okay, all right. So we'll
I'll
see.
I'll put the Viserys death watch at 2 episodes.
Okay, so sometime in the next 2 weeks is what you're looking for. Okay, cool. We'll put a pin in that. So Viserys sucks. I think Alicent has a really, really tough episode. And I think it's also the scene between her and Rhaenyra, it seems like off screen, they've kind of started the process of repairing their relationship a little bit in the year between episodes 3 and 4. Well, and that seems like it's in a bad spot by the end of this episode. It's like in an okay spot at the end of this episode, but there's like a big information gap that's likely to explode, you would think.
Yeah. Can I... And also that the Allison scene with Viserys was like even more disturbing, that it was like intercut with like, all right, Rhaenyra is inviting like Kristen Cole like back to her room, and this is like there's candles, and all right, that this is traditionally maybe something that looks more appealing.
Yeah.
Cut with the Crypt Keeper.
Yes. Yeah, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
The Crypt Keeper would get along great in Westeros, by the way. Crypt Keeper, Master of Whisperers, I'm here for that.
Who's going to be my heir? Oops, one of my fingers just fell off.
Yeah, he has kind of big mad king energy.
He didn't care. Like, no. He just like, whatever. Like, that's the attitude that we should all have of like, hey, like my parts of my body are falling off. I'm just like a decomposed skeleton, whatever.
You think generally in life we should be aspiring more towards the Crypt Keeper?
Like, oh, here's bad news. I love it. Like, it's raining today. Oh, glorious. Let me check my Twitter timeline. Oh, look at this. All this good stuff.
Who slid into my DMs today? Oh, a troll telling me I'm the worst.
The Crypt Keeper never had one bad day. And I guess, like, once you lose everything, once you're dead, right?
How much worse could it get?
Right. What is dead may never die.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
All right, Rob. So that's the Crypt Keeper in Westeros. We appreciate him joining the cause. Kind of sounded a little crass.
They call me the Red Keeper around here.
Never stop, Crypt Keeper. Coming along for the ride for the rest of the go.
Sure.
So you touched on Kristen Cole, the Kristen culprit here, Knight of the Kingsguard, sworn Knight of the Kingsguard, sure. Can take no wives, sort of Night's Watchy, and certainly probably a big no-no to be with the princess of all people.
Yeah.
But she is going to put the moves on Sir Criston.
Yeah.
Criston is going to take 500 hours to be disrobed.
Yeah. Talk about more slow. Well, for Rhaenyra, the only time she's ever seen naked people is at the pleasure house going in slow motion.
Yeah. Oh, so you think that because Damon
she learned. Damon's like, oh, yeah. This is how you take people's clothes off. Right, it's like, right. Oh, okay. You got to do it in super slow motion.
So is there a part of Criston standing there being like, what's going on? This is happening so
yeah,
much
why
slower
is this
than
so?
Realized.
Why is this so slow? I could do this much faster if you just let me just take my own armor off. I'll be out of it
in like 2 minutes as opposed to 12.
Yeah, but this is like just to go back to sort of like reading of character motivations. This was the one I think that after like watching the episode and sort of like thinking on it a little bit, Rhaenyra's motivations here with all of this is still kind of confusing for me.
Okay, with Criston specifically.
Yes.
You don't know what her attitude towards Criston is.
Well, I kind of feel like that. I feel like that certainly like there is like, you know, some attraction there, but I don't know if it's necessarily like a romantic thing. Like I feel like that she has like, to me, I feel like that she has feelings for Damon that are not the same as her feelings for Criston. And I don't know if this is like the new Edward Jacob of it all.
Oh,
but I don't know.
Sir
Criston,
a werewolf, perhaps?
I don't know. He's definitely more of the Edward than the Jacob.
This is a good future spoiler for a podcast coming out on post-show recaps in a few days. Not the one that Mike and I are doing, although maybe I'll bring it in, but the Walking Dead podcast coming out Sunday night. Jessica Lease pitched Werewolves in the Walking Dead.
Oh, interesting.
Could be fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Having a hard time wrapping my head around what that looks like, but
yeah, it's tough. Mm-hmm. If you watched an episode of Tales of the Walking Dead recently, you would
Tales
see
Tales of the Walking Dead,
the Red Crypt Keeper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think this is interesting to me. So you feel like Rhaenyra has the emotional feelings towards Damon as opposed to maybe like the physical feelings towards Criston.
Yeah, I just don't like it's that when I don't know, like she went to the pleasure house. Then I guess did like that, like evoke something in her where she was like, hey, like I got to act on these feelings for Criston Cole. But it doesn't seem like she wants a relationship there. And again, maybe it's just like that. It's separate for her of like, OK, well, like this is just I'm going to then. You know, grab. I wanted this. I'm gonna take this. But what does she have like any regard for him as like, you know, doesn't seem like that he's in the mix to be her suitor. Does she want him as like a concubine?
Well, she doesn't really want that, right? Like, she doesn't want a suitor. Is she's been pretty
suitor
clear.
Armor? Yeah,
yeah. You know, that's the suitor she likes. But she's been very like she went out for a year looking at people, and she
like
has
the Bachelorette.
She has said a hard pass on all of them, on every last one of them. So I think, especially on the heels of a night where she has been anonymous for the first time in her life,
she's looking for the perfect guy, 3 sixes.
Yes. He checks off the boxes. He's he's not marriage material, but he can he is sworn to protect me, which means he's sworn to protect my secret. And he's cute. It's like, you know, she's thought he's cute for quite some time.
So I guess what I'm left with then at the end of the episode is then, okay, so like if she has been, you know, impregnated.
Right.
Probably not the right word. If she is with...
if she's pregnant. If she's with child. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And then if, like, does she want to carry his baby? Does she feel like, hey, you know, like, I'll make the call on this? Like, is she defiant?
I would, So I feel like my read from knowing the characters the way that I do is like she's been pretty adamant, and she says it in this episode, like, I'm not gonna die on the battlefield that my mom was forced onto. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want anything to do with that. Marriage isn't just some like luxury as it is for you, Damon. You know, I have to fight for my life on here. So right. I think that having children is really far from her mind right now as far as the thing that she wants to do.
So then, all right, here comes now the maester brings in with the tea.
Yep.
But then I would think that my read would be like, oh, like, thank God. Okay, good. Let me, I'm going to chug this right now.
Right.
Because the last thing I would want is to then have the baby of the Sir Christopher Cole.
Yeah.
Like, this was just a fling for me. I don't want his baby. And so you would think that, okay, this would be something, but I don't get the sense that she's jumping at that opportunity. And maybe it's like, hey, this is what my dad wants. Like,
yes.
I don't want it. Now I don't want to do it.
I think for her, it's like, oh, well, I just refuted this story, like top to bottom with Allison and with my father, and I'm still getting served the tea. So I think like what it symbolizes for Rhaenyra is lost trust with her dad. And so if she and her dad are in that spot where they're like in that precarious of a place, is she as secure on her way to the Iron Throne as maybe she thought she was an hour earlier, 2 hours earlier?
Mm-hmm.
So I think like there's that piece of it. And then I think it's also just like the signal of like how ruthlessly unbelieved and unsupported the women of King's Landing are. And certainly even her own father being like, no, I don't believe your story. I believe
sure.
Damon.
But when she's pregnant, think, like, it's just, like, he's really not going to believe her story.
Sure, sure. I think she's probably drinking the tea. Like, I don't think that
you think so.
Okay. I don't think it's a cliffhanger in that way. I think the cliffhanger is like an emotional like beat at the end of the episode.
Oh, see, I really thought it was like a will she, won't she drink the tea.
I don't think so. I think she's going to drink it. I'm pretty sure she's going to drink mm-hmm. it. I think that she's going to drink the tea. So that's my tea that I will spill. I think that she's going to drink the tea.
Okay, interesting.
Can I ask you about green tea?
Yeah, but what do you want to know?
Well, here's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Rob, are you reading around about House of the Dragon? Are you like getting into the discourse a little bit?
A little bit.
I want to be like a little sensitive here because like this is like spoiler adjacent.
Well, I tried, you said something
where I'm like, oh, my man is reading.
Yeah,
about
well, I watch a lot of YouTube videos about what's going on. I probably watch like, you know, 3 or 4 different, YouTube recaps. You know, I try to before I come on here so I don't sound like a total moron idiot.
Yeah, you sound your smartest when you're doing Crypt Keeper voice, I think.
Yes. Okay. Well, you see, try not to run it into the ground too much, but mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to come in here knowing nothing. I don't think that's fair to the podcast audience.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you enjoying what you're poking around and checking
yeah,
out?
Yeah. Again, I don't want to get like I'm trying not to watch anything that's sort of like telling me where it's going. But you know, there's some of these YouTube channels, and there's a lot of great resources out there that drop some nuggets on things.
Yeah. Have you been leaning on HBO's Game of Thrones character map anymore?
No. Yeah. That thing was just way too chunky. I don't need a thing that's gonna like eat up my entire like system resources.
That's
moving
the problem.
Background.
It's so useful. It is like really very useful. It is also destroying all of my technological appliances. Every last one of them.
It didn't need to be.
I did. Yeah. I tried to have it up during one of the podcasts the other day, and like mm-hmm. my internet was destroyed. Like the whole thing, it just ate it all.
Yeah.
Massive bandwidth feeder. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Like this could have been a PDF.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Doesn't need to be a living document.
No. Okay. So where are you at with Daemon Targaryen right now, I think is a question that I have for you. We have seen him as the Dayman in the War of the Stepstones, and now we see him as the Nightman here in episode 4 of House of the Dragon. Are you feeling like you're getting more of a sense of this guy? Is there like an opening into like giving him like benefit of the doubt, or is he just so awful in this episode with Rhaenyra? Like, where are you landing with Damon as a character as far as like how compelled you are by him right now?
Yeah. I don't know about like a compelled is the right word, but again, you know, I really like just question his motives, like in terms of like when he's with Rhaenyra, like it seems like that he had some sort of like that he cares about her, like in the way that he's acted with her. I can't believe that is all for show. Like, I feel like that he is like very much like I buy when he is like with her, that there is like some sort of like, as wrong as it is, that it feels like that there is like some attraction there,
right?
There's some sparks, especially like coming from his part as well. But then like, I also feel like that, you know, he has this ambition for the crown, and you know, it feels like that,
yeah,
you know, when you sort
it.
Of like take a, yeah, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. No crown spoilers.
No crown spoilers.
Still trying to, you know, unspoil.
Be respectful. Be respectful. Yes. Unlike Brian Cox. Or no, it was Jesse Armstrong.
So then, you know, okay, so he like wants to sort of like undermine Viserys. So like, I'm really like sort of like torn. Like, I think that I really do believe that like his ultimate plan here was to disparage the reputation of Rhaenyra. Was he doing that to make it then the only suitor that he like, because he like, when Viserys is like, okay, you took her maidenhood, he didn't, but he doesn't shoot that down, maybe because it was like for embarrassing reasons that he didn't,
right.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I did, but I don't know, is he angling for Viserys to finally say, all right, fine, you marry her now?
Yeah, I mean, Viserys does everything we've seen about Viserys until the end. I mean, until the end of this episode. But even then, when he goes and fires Otto, and I want to talk about that with you for sure. Like, he needs like enough people eventually to like push him in that direction. Like, it does feel like Viserys never makes a choice unless he's been pushed. So maybe is that part of why Daemon is like constantly pushing Viserys? He knows his brother well enough. Like, I just keep pushing this guy, and eventually he's going to give me what I want.
Yeah, I feel like just,
he's the younger brother. He's terrorizing his older brother. Familiar dynamic, maybe.
Yeah, I just I'm unclear as to what Damon like ultimately wants. Like, I feel like I understand what he did, but I don't think we ever got like his clear motivation for was it just that, okay, I want to tarnish Rhaenyra as the heir, so that people will go back and say, hey, like, you know, Damon is back in the picture. Rhaenyra, she's a bad heir. We can't have a baby on the Iron Throne. Like, maybe we should like be re-examining Damon as the potential person that should be on the Iron Throne. Or is he looking at...
Well, that was
at,
the
like,
case. He really probably biffed it this week. That was like, he really, if that was his goal of like, I'm going to show my brother that like he should change his mind and I should be the heir.
Well,
it didn't seem like that went right.
Not so much to change his mind, but to change the mind. Because that what I did like about Damon was that when they went to go like look at the stupid minstrel show, that she's like, what does it matter what all these like small people think? Like, who cares? He's like, no, it matters what they think. So
yeah,
it feels like that he has like that understanding of, okay, like what the temperature of like the populace, like that is an important thing. And if he is sort of you know, viewed as the best choice to be on the Iron Throne, like there's a way like that ultimately ends up happening.
Right. I want to pitch three separate ideas for Damon's motivation to you, just as possibilities, and let's see if any of them land. Let's just sketch them out quickly, and then we can talk them through as much as we want. So there's the world where just like very straightforward, Damon Targaryen is power hungry and he wants the throne. That's option one.
Okay.
Option two is he is a Targaryen first. He cares about the family. He cares about the strength of the Targaryen hold over the land. He feels like he has that best interest in mind. He even authentically means it when he tells his brother he loves him, but he's weak. He wants to strengthen the Targaryens, and that's why he is as dedicated to, you know, wanting to marry with Rhaenyra. They keep the bloodline pure, all of that stuff. That's option two. Mm-hmm. Option three, he just wants his brother to love him. He just wants someone to show him some love and respect. Dude,
throw that one out.
Okay,
throw
so that one's out. Gone. That one's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you land with the other two?
What was the first one again?
First one is he just wants the throne. He's just like he's just a power hungry
guy.
What
else is he gonna do? Like, I think he feels like that he is the rightful heir. But I think that he really does like Rhaenyra, and I think that in his perfect world, I think that he would like take her as his as his wife to sit on the Iron Throne with him. Like, I think he's sort of like on board with the idea, okay, this is how the Targaryens, as much as we don't like it, okay,
right,
that's what they do.
Disavowed.
Disavow. Yeah. And so I kind of think that he sees that as like, okay, well, like she's a dragon rider, I'm a dragon rider. Let's we could do this.
Let's make more dragon riders together.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good to note.
She's fun.
I think we've got a lot to track with the character. Complicated character for sure. Did you enjoy that his former concubine, Miseria, now seems to be in something of like a Varys-ish, Littlefinger-ish position here in King's Landing? She's like an information broker now, Miseria.
Sure. I mean, I always like that in Game of Thrones.
Nice to have one of those on the board, right? Somebody who's got their little birds working for them.
You got that little kid. Although, you know, I have to say, I'm going to throw the flag on.
Do
it. Hey. Not cool. Like, you got these little kids sitting there outside of the pleasure houses spying.
Yeah.
They're not old enough for that.
I mean, they're not in the pleasure house.
Yeah, but you think that they're not peering in the windows?
Well, she can't control that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, kid's going to do what the kid's going to do, I think.
Yeah. But. And that kid should be in bed.
He should be in bed for sure. It was really late. It was the hour of the owl.
It was the hour of the owl. You know these kids, they don't want to go to bed.
Yeah. This kid goes running to tell dad, right? He goes squealing to Otto Hightower.
Snitch.
About what he has seen. Yeah, he snitch tags, and he goes to Otto Hightower, and Otto has there's this long shot on Otto where he's just like, like, you get this sense that he's like, okay, I feel like maybe I've got like a big hammer to bring down on Rhaenyra, but gosh, this is going to be hard to tell Rhaenyra's father that his daughter has slept with her uncle. Like, I feel like I got to do this. And also he does have this vested interest in his son being on the Iron Throne, or his grandson rather, being on the Iron Throne at some point in time. All of this obviously goes poorly. Even weak backboned, 99 sores.
99 sores.
The 99 sores is going to not be cool with Otto, to the point that he will be convinced to fire this man. Mm-hmm. What could Otto have done differently?
So I guess the question is, do you agree with Viserys's read that Otto took pleasure in this, that this is like, whoa, good news.
Right.
Did he think that this was like a delicious story that he got to share? Because I kind of feel like that's like one of you never be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, you really don't want to be, but you're the hand of the king and often you have to be. Here's where I think my critique comes in. And I love it from a performance standpoint, but Rhys Ifans, who plays Otto Hightower, he's always got this little smile on his face. Like, he's always got like a little smile underneath that beard where he's like, I saw her at the Isle of the Owl. Mm-hmm. You know, and he's just like kind of,
He's like, say it.
Yeah, just say what you speak plainly. I'm having a hard time telling you about this. Yeah. You know, he always has like this little sort of like pop of a smile. Happening.
What was the term he used?
I could look it up real quick.
Yeah,
I've got the whole thing written down somewhere.
The whole transcript.
I gotta find.
He's like, say it. What were they doing? You brought this to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they were coupling. Is that what it was?
Yes. He says to him. Yes. Damon and Rhaenyra were seen together in the bowels of a pleasure den, coupling. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then Viserys says, my favorite Viserys line of the show so far is, this is a lie. You're being lied to. Who is responsible for this gossip? Have this rumor monger brought to me at once and I will take their eyes. Very cryptkeeper. Very cryptkeeper. I think it's possible that Viserys Targaryen.
He becomes this is the origin story.
Cryptkeeper. Secret cryptkeeper.
Cinematic
prequel.
Universe. Yes, that's yes, it. This yes. is the multiverse.
Yeah. Like, yes. You can notice like the hair is starting to thin out. The sores are developing. I think that this could be like gritty cryptkeeper origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Otto doesn't come with the smile for all of these news breaks that he has to give to
He couldn't hide his delight.
I think that he was having a hard time. He's like, this is it. This is it. Mm-hmm. You know, was it satisfying to watch him get fired?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you are with Otto Hightower, because he's a schemer. He's obviously a bad guy, but is he like a compelling schemer?
Not really. A lot of personality there. I haven't really enjoyed him.
Yeah.
And, you know, but it just seems like that for Viserys, like how much, like had he already been thinking this, that this was enough to put him like over the, it was almost like that, it was just like a light bulb went off. He's like, wait, hold on. Yeah, you like this. I it all makes sense now. You had me marry your daughter just so you could have your grandson be on the Iron Throne.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He puts it together. I mean, Viserys a little slow on the uptake, I think. But
and he's missing toes and. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I mean that's going to slow you down for sure. So he puts it together, and I don't know how much of his backstory you were clocking in that scene where he fires him, where he's talking about how. Otto has been serving since the time of the old king, the wise king, mm-hmm. and he becomes Hand of the King because Viserys' own father died, like very, very suddenly. I don't know if it was how it was conveyed on the show, but the book, I think, says a burst belly for Viserys' father. And his father was Balon the Brave. He was a rider of Vhagar. Yet again, we're hearing about Vhagar, one of the great original three dragons of the Westeros conquest, who is the only one of those three still alive and still out there somewhere in the world. So Viserys and Daemon, they both descend from a man who was great, who was like really beloved. He was like a fierce warrior. He was super brave, and he just kind of went. He just goes. And I think Viserys is like looking at Otto of like, that was a really good day for you, huh? And I think his question of like, you have anything you want to tell me about that? So there's a lot of charged stuff here between Viserys and Otto. Do you think Viserys is going to come to regret firing Otto as opposed to something a little bit heavier?
As opposed to like executing him?
I don't know. I feel like you don't really get fired too often on Game of Thrones.
Hmm.
You know, how often do you get fired? You know, you typically get like fired by a dragon is a totally different way of going. This is a different kind of fire by a
dragon.
Well,
this is a little awkward because, I mean, that is his father-in-law.
Yes.
So in the family business, this is a little awkward.
Yes.
And so there's that. And so, you know, and then also, like, I'm sure, like, his wife is not going to be thrilled.
You think the Targaryens ever look at a family tree and they're like, what's going on? What is this? What is all of this? Do you think that there's one Targaryen that like looks at all this and like just like kind of like looks at the camera and is like, I know what you're thinking. You know, like, is there, does that happen? Does that happen in between scenes? Does Rhaenyra look at a scroll and it's like, oh, geez.
That their family tree is a wreath?
Yeah. Yeah, do any of them look at the wreath and say, I'm not gonna take the wreath. I'm gonna destroy the wreath. Does anyone look at the wreath that way? I don't know.
Not yet. Maybe in the coming episodes. Yeah. But I know there's been a lot of questions about then who will be the Hand of the King.
Yes. Do you have any suggestions for the job?
I mean, I feel like Lionel Strong. Is that,
oh, that guy's great. That guy's great. That has we good love advice? That guy.
Yeah. I mean, he probably should have been the hand of the king the whole time. But I don't know. I don't know if he's like, who the other candidates are.
Do they want to extend an olive branch to the sea snake? It seems like they're already doing that by they're saying Rhaenyra will be marrying the sea snake's son is the choice.
But do they want his counsel? I feel like that's sort of like, hey, let's, marry Rhaenyra to the sea snake junior.
Yeah.
To just get him to stop being a pain in the you-know-what.
Too soon to have him be... to have him be like that close to the king, probably.
Well, I don't know if he has good counsel. I think that they kind of feel like that he's like a hothead. Yeah. That he's
you
like
fought 3 years in the Stepstones. That was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. I think Lionel Strong seems like a strong candidate. We've seen him give tremendous advice over the course, like reasonable, like uninvested advice over the last few episodes.
You know, really, it's hard to get a good hand of the king.
Really, really tough job to fill out.
Yeah.
I think most of these jobs are not jobs you want, to be honest. But I think Hand of the King might be worse than King itself. I don't know. It's tough between the two.
I think it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to deliver all the bad news. You get blamed for everything.
No, you get like somebody like at the small council to like bring up the bad news. So it's like, oh, I guess the king doesn't come. Well, whatever the meeting is, it's like, oh, okay. Let's see. What's your report? They're like,
you
what?
Need the hand of the king needs an intern. The hand of the king needs the foot of the hand of the king. I think the foot of the hand of the king is an important role to fill out, and that's the person who you kick. You kick the foot of the hand of the king to the king to deliver the bad news.
Yeah, I mean, then you get somebody else to be delivering the bad
like
news.
Like the mini Mike Bloom, perfect foot
right,
of the hand of
yeah,
the king.
Yeah, although that guy will kill you.
The thing is, like, he might kill you, so if he brings you the bad news, no, you're not going to like, shoot the messenger, because then you take one look in his eyes, like, yeah, that's right.
Maybe the guy who got his belly burst, maybe that guy would be good. And then it's like, then you say to the king, like, oh, you believe this shite?
Yeah, yeah. Because that's how they say it in
you believe this? Yeah.
In Westeros.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're trying to do what we can to like reinvent the political structure of this world. And can we are there any areas of improvement? Where else? I think the hand of the king operationally, I don't know about one star, but it's close. It's close. I think it's close.
It can be improved upon, I think.
For sure. Okay. Lots of people, too many to even name, Rob, wanted to know. Short hair Daemon versus long hair Daemon. Your thoughts?
Well, the wig is bad. So I guess short hair is bad, but I really, that the, like the bone crown, that he had, that was bad. I didn't like it.
It's what they had at the Stepstones. Should he have been wearing, the crab feeder's mask?
No. But first of all, the crab feeder. Yeah. Didn't he have grayscale? So I feel like any sort of used crab feeder stuff, I feel
should
like
be burned,
burn it, yeah, get burn rid of it. Yeah. Just like, I don't want any souvenirs from the crab feeder.
Yeah. Is there a middle ground that we need to find with Daemon Targaryen's hair? Like, do we give him, like, if short hair versus long hair, it's just too extreme, do you give him a Farquaad, like a Lord Farquaad? You got it, like, down to the ears, sort of like bowl cut hair.
Hmm. I don't know. I thought his hair was fine.
Give him the Maya Ishii
overall.
Peters.
Yeah. It was fine. You know, it's more of the color. I feel like, what are you going to do?
It's got the platinum blonde. It's the Targaryen look. And it has important.
Doesn't work for everybody. Yeah.
It's got that important plot implication as of this episode. You know, take the beanie off and oh my God, it's a princess.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing in the pleasure house of like, you know, that was like, they are, you know, easy to spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking forward to Rhaenyra and Laenor, the son of the sea snake? You looking forward to seeing where that one takes us?
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I kind of feel like that they have not done a lot to really establish like who that character was. If I was not watching like YouTube videos or listening to podcasts, I would have no idea who that was that they were talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was flying a dragon.
He was in one episode, had a couple of scenes, but I would not remember that if I was not casual, or below.
Yes, yes. All right, a couple of odds and ends for you before we close out. I had a bunch of people who wanted to know how you felt, non House of the Dragon related, but keeping it in the HBO family. Are you psyched about Mike White's Emmy wins, the back to back, the Survivor shout out?
That was cool. I loved the White
Lotus. You were White Lotus guy. Yeah.
So I watched it, when it was on. So I was, was very happy for Mike White and everybody.
Would it be fun for Mike White to direct an episode of House of the Dragon?
I think it would be probably it would be very fun.
Rhaenyra is always talking about her mother.
Yeah, I feel like it could use a little
Jennifer Coolidge as a Targaryen.
She's kind of got the right hair for it. So I think it could use a little bit more fun weirdness to it.
Yeah, I mentioned to Grace on our Emmys recap, which you can listen to on post-show recaps, that much ado is being made about Mike White being the first Survivor player to win an Emmy, but I don't think nearly enough people are talking about that means that Alec Merlino is the second Survivor player to win an Emmy.
So I don't know if that's official. Saw that somebody else, Romeo, was on last season. And he said that he has Emmys for being in. So
that's not canon for me. I don't know what that is.
Yeah. So but first person to be personally win an Emmy, come up on the stage. So congratulations again to Mike White.
Yes. Another one for you is, where are we on the offer for the Lord of the Rings 10-minute exchange?
Oh, I forgot to do that.
Yeah, me too. Totally. Yeah. Completely forgot to do that. So yes. do we now owe each other 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It stacks.
Yeah. What were you going to watch for 10 minutes?
I was going to watch The Offer for 10 minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You don't need to. It's fine.
Would you rather me watch something else?
I could watch the Lord of the Rings just to talk about it.
I'll give you 20 minutes of something else if you give me 20 minutes of Lord of the Rings. You just tell
maybe
me what it is.
Let's not do it all in the same week. Maybe it'll go back and forth.
Okay, we can go back and forth on it. That's basically what we've got. You're not alone in enjoying the House of the Dragon this week. Kit Harington is out here being like, I'm really enjoying what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They've done a great job. He thought it would be traumatic to watch, he says. He's a big fan of Miguel Sapochnik. They did all of their work together, so he's wanted to check out the show. He loves it. Kit Harington approved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's really just trying to get that Jon Snow sequel.
Well, because I guess it was sort of the prophecy.
Sure.
It's a prince who was promised. Yeah. And so it's sort of like, it's a shout out.
Yeah, it's a shout out.
They're talking about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he's DiCaprioing at the screen every week.
They said the thing.
Uh-huh. All right, Rob, anything else on House of the Dragon?
No, I've just been enjoying it. I'm glad to be here and talk about it here with you. Looking forward to seeing where it's going. I hope that there are a few more episodes like this where we really can get into sort of the world building. We're back, and I know it would have been if we did not have as much spectacle in the first couple episodes, that maybe people say this show is super boring. I really feel that we need to spend time fleshing out these characters.
Yeah, I think that it's happening, right? I think some of that stuff was bedrock for an episode like this, where you have a little bit of the pomp and circumstance from earlier in the season, and now you have a little bit more of a sense of, certainly in the case of Daemon Targaryen and Rhaenyra, who's flying those dragons. So I think we're pushing things forward in a way that is essential for the show, whether or not it's working for you. The royal you out there seems to be working for the Crypt Keeper at the very least. The worse it gets, frankly, right? The happier the Crypt Keeper will be, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, what else you got going on? Give us shouts from RHAP. What's happening in the RHAP universe that the post-show recaps audience needs to know?
Okay, September is just a crazy time in the world of reality TV because
Big Brother is gonna outlast Survivor by a week. week or it ends and Survivor starts?
So it is not going to outlast Survivor, but it is going to both shows will be happening. Actually, all four of the CBS like flagship reality series, with all due respect to Tough as Nails, are all going to be coming and going in September. That is just Challenge USA has a 2-hour finale on Wednesday night. Big Brother still has two more weeks. Survivor starts on Wednesday. Amazing Race starts on Wednesday. So
there's like a Venn diagram of all of them happening at once.
The Challenge technically will not be happening at the same time that Amazing Race and Survivor are starting, but we are very much in the preseason of those shows as the Challenge is coming to an end.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. You keeping
any interest to look at the Challenge USA?
A little bit, actually. I love a lot of the people who are on there. I've seen a lot of the Targaryen of Survivor, Tyson. Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of love for Tyson, who I adore. So do you think I'd like it?
Yeah, I thought that might be a fun one to just have you watch like 10 minutes of. You know, it's really like there's not like a lot to it in terms of, and I, from what I understand, there's probably like a little bit more strategy going on in some of the MTV seasons of the Challenge, but
yeah
I think it's a pretty like low stakes show. I kind of feel like it's very much a show that you could have something else on and then just be like following along.
Here's the trade I'll make. Watch the first episode of Lord of the Rings, Rob. That's certainly what the post show recaps voters will say. I'll watch whichever episode of this current season of the Challenge that the RHAP audience has to say. You guys get me the memo, Rob. Get it to Rob. Rob will get it to me. He'll send the little birds over my way. I will watch a random episode of the Challenge USA.
Have you ever watched an episode of the Challenge MTV?
Never once. Okay. Never once. I used to watch a decent amount of Real World a long time ago and Road Rules. I really loved Road Rules back in the 90s, late 90s. I've never once watched the Challenge. I don't really understand it. It seems
neither
like
do
the
I.
same the same people show up every year. Is it kind of how it goes? And it also happens six times a year.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think it happens quite so many times, but
okay. Well, let me know which one to watch. One episode I will give you. One episode, a one-to-one, a Lord of the Rings for a Challenge. You tell me which one it is. I'll report back. That sounds fun.
Sounds good.
Okay, so you got a lot of reality TV going on. At Rob Sesternino for everything. Just the Rob Has a Podcast feed. You want to subscribe. You want to make sure that you're getting your star
ratings. RobHasAWebsite.com/subscribe. You have links to all of the show feeds, and they're all free.
Oh my god, yes, that's a
free
very
podcast,
very very good deal. It also costs you nothing to subscribe to the Post Show Recaps podcast feed, the House of the Dragon podcast feed specifically. Wow, having like a hub that has all of your subscribe buttons is a good idea. Maybe I'll look into that. I might steal that one from you. In the meantime, just search Post Show Recaps House of the Dragon in your podcatcher of choice. And that is the easy way to make sure you're getting all of the Game of Thrones coverage that we are doing here on PSR, including what's coming next. We're going to be doing, LaTanya and I are getting back together to compare House of the Dragon Episode 4 to Game of Thrones Episode 4 with a TBD announced special guest joining us for that one as well. A lot to dig into from this episode of House of the Dragon specifically that I know LaTanya is going to want to get into. And if you're nostalgic for the old days of Game of Thrones, we'll be talking about that as well. You can follow me at Round Howard. I will tweet everything out. Rob, anything else?
No. Looking forward to coming back and talking about episode 5.
Cool. All right. Well, to close this thing out, in tribute to the corny conversation that is happening in the PSR Discord about House of the Dragon, we will end with Adam H.'s tribute to Game of Thrones, or should I say Game of Corn. Until next time, everybody, take care. Bye-bye.
It's cold. It's cold. It has the juice. I can't imagine a more beautiful thing. It's corn, it's corn, it's corn, it's corn.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.